live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Sunday evening. The Flames fall 5-2 on the road against the Winnipeg Jets to wrap up a quick two-game stretch on the road. They drop the season series to Winnipeg, two losses and one win. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 and the text line at 960-960. Let's also say hello to the color voice of the Flames, Megan Mickelson, who joins us as well. Mick, you know, maybe not the greatest start to that game, and they trailed all night and kind of the backbreaker, hey, that Gabe Vilardi goal in the final minute of the second period kills a lot of momentum the Flames were building, because I heard you say it, really good second period for the Flames, and yet they come out even further behind than they were going after the first period, which had, do you imagine, be a pretty frustrating in this one tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I even go back to the first goal against, though, and, you know, for Daniil Miromanov, who I think has been strong since he's come back into the lineup, that for me, that's kind of a non-negotiable play to get beat the way that he did. And I know mistakes happen, but, you know, I go back to that goal and just the importance of the start in this game. It's something that Cale Maclean, I asked him, you know, what are the key focuses for you guys in this game tonight? And the thing that he said and just really pointed out was making sure that they had a really good start, how important that was to set the tone early, you know, to make sure that they got out ahead, played with a lead, you know, because this is it's a second half of a back-to-back, a really tough team to play against, a tough building to play in. So, you know, for me, I just go back to the start, and they just came out a little bit too flat. Yes, they did find their game, and you have to credit them for being able to do that, and created a ton of opportunities in that second period. Couldn't seem to really buy a bounce, and you know, and then in the third it was, you know, a matter of just some untimely penalties. And so, you know, at the end of the day, they fought back, and like Jake Bean said, you know, there's a lot of good things that you can take from that one and really build off of. I thought that they were oftentimes very dynamic in the offensive zone, and against a Winnipeg Jets team that defends the way that they do, that's always very excellent to see. I like their power play, but yeah, it's a tough one just in the way that the game sort of unfolded and those momentum shifts and the times at which the goals were scored. That was really tough. And I mean, I have to feel bad for Dan Vladar, because I mean, he's just been put in so many situations where it's been tough for him to kind of buy a save or come out with, you know, feeling any sort of success. So a tough night for him as well, in that, you know, that Winnipeg Jets power play is, I mean, it's something else to watch, and he had no chance on some of those.
Our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were talking on the pregame show, Mick, about not having Kevin Ball, and hopefully he's not out for too many more games. Jake Bean came back in, and they had two new pairings as a result. How'd you feel the blue line, the six on the back end, dealt with no Kevin Ball for the first time this season?
No, I thought they did pretty well, and especially, like, you look at the high-danger chances, especially 5-on-5, and early on in the game, I thought they did a really good job, and then things kind of slipped away a little bit, but as a group of five as well, I thought they did a nice job. That was something Cale Maclean talked about. Like, it doesn't just fall on the defenseman in the D zone. It's the forwards helping out the D group as well, and he talked about trying to minimize the amount of stress and pressure that the D were under, and I think at times they were just under a ton of water, and there was a lot of Jets players that were, you know, hanging around in front of the net, and so I thought overall did a good job considering the situation, considering the matchup. I thought Joel Hanley was excellent, and I thought Jake Bean had a really good game as well. It's, you know, a little bit tough, Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar. I mean, you talk about the fourth line being out there at the end of a period. I mean, they get put together for one shift and they get scored on. So, you know, could have seen those two, I think, bear down a little bit more at times. But as a group, as a whole, yeah, I thought they did a pretty nice job.
That was our marquee matchup tonight. No Kevin Ball, so the pairing of Ball and Rasmus Anderson broken up for the first time all season. The marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until July 2025. Mick, where are you leaning for tonight's hardest working Flame?
Yeah, probably a bit of an odd selection if you're looking at the stat line. I mean, he didn't have any points, but I thought Andre Kuzmenko was absolutely incredible.
Maddie and I underlined him, too. I like that a lot.
Oh, wow. Like, I could not believe what we were seeing from him in this game. Like, if he could do that night in and night out, he's going to be a very dangerous player just with, you know, his ability to hang on to pucks, but he was moving his feet. I don't think that we've seen him play with that intensity, that level of competitiveness. He was quick to pucks. Also, just really liked his decision making as well, when to shoot, when not to shoot, when to hang on to it. So I thought that he had a really, really strong game.
Andre Kuzmenko, our hardest working Flame on this Sunday night. And last thought, Mick, is, boy, it doesn't get any easier. Hey, they come back home. They play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, it's just this schedule continues to be an absolute grind, hey?
Yeah, they're in the thick of it. I mean, at least you're at home for six of the next seven heading into the break. So a little bit of reprieve in that you're sleeping in your own bed. You get a little bit more rest. You don't have to pack up your suitcase and all of those things. And not as late of night. So, you know, if there's anything that is on their side this next little stretch, it's just the fact that there's not quite as much travel on the schedule. But yeah, Tuesday night, I mean, that's going to be a really, really tough game. But, you know, the Flames have been really good at home and against top teams. So, I mean, I'm expecting a group that's going to look to upset one of the best teams in the NHL.
We will see you Tuesday, Mick. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson signing off as the Flames fall 5-2 on this Sunday night in Winnipeg. To wrap up a quick two-game road trip, as Mick said, six of the next seven are on home ice. This upcoming homestand is three games. It's Washington, Anaheim, Detroit, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then off to Seattle on Sunday, back for three more. Again, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for Toronto, Colorado, and Seattle. Flames lose this one 5-2 to the Jets as our Flames Talk postgame show is underway. You can call now at 403-240-4444. We are clear on the phone lines right now, so if you want to jump in, now's a great time to do so. Get in line. No busy signal at 403-240-4444. Keep getting your texts in at 960-960 as well. Our Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll come back with head coach Ryan Huska. 5-2 final. Flames fall in Winnipeg. This is your Flames Talk postgame show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
5-2 final score. Flames fall in Winnipeg on this Sunday afternoon slash evening. As our Flames Talk postgame show continues, hey, the phone lines are open. If you want to chat, we're pretty clear, so call now, 403-240-4444, or get your text in at 960-960. Phone calls and texts coming up very shortly. But right now, to the Flames dressing room we go, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And let's check in with head coach Ryan Huska. His thoughts post-game following a 5-2 loss in Winnipeg.
I mean, listening to the guys in the room, they didn't think the score was a negative the way that game was. Do you see it that way? And if so, what's your advantage?
No. I mean, I actually thought we played a pretty good road game. There are certain situations where I felt like we could have used a save tonight, which isn't something that we have said a lot this year. And then when we made a few mistakes, they were able to capitalize, whether it was a poor penalty that we took with too many men on the ice or the offensive zone penalty. That's kind of the difference in the game. But for our team, I thought our effort was where it needed to be. And there are stretches of the game where I thought we did a lot of good things tonight. We just weren't able to keep them out of our net like we needed to tonight.
Frustrating, I guess, when you give a team that has a high power play like that. I'm sure your message was pretty clear up the top, stay out of the box.
Sure. I mean, again, certain situations where we have to find a way to be better in those areas, whether they're a top power play team in the league like they are, or they're one near the bottom. We have to find a way to be better in those areas.
How do you feel your defensive pairings fared in the absence of Ball?
I thought they were okay. You know, is maybe the best way to put it. I thought they were competitive. There was a few guys that I thought could have been better players for us tonight, but overall, I thought they gave us some good minutes.
When you don't get the save you want, is it, you know, is it something that you can say to your group or something that they need to look within and go, okay, we've got to find a way to kind of give them some run support?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I thought a lot of the things we did tonight, we were playing the right way. Like in a situation like we were in against a good team in their building on a back-to-back, I thought we did a lot of good things to kind of slow them down, kind of keep them at bay until the third period when we started taking those penalties. And you know, at the end of the day, they capitalized on the power play.
There you go. That's head coach Ryan Huska. His thoughts post-game following this one tonight. 5-2 loss, and one of the two goal scorers in this game was defenseman Mackenzie Weegar. He rips home his sixth of the year. You heard Ryan Huska say, you know, a couple of situations where they could have used a save. I think the big ones were both after the two Calgary goals that I think you were looking for a save. We'll get to a little bit more on Dan Vladar here shortly, but the Vilardi goal late in the second period, just a few minutes after the Flames got on the board on the Mackenzie Weegar goal, and then the Scheifele goal on the power play just a few minutes after Kadri got them back on the board. And so Mackenzie Weegar, one of the two goal scorers tonight. Let's hear from number 52 postgame in Winnipeg as well.
You know what? For what the score said, I don't think it was as bad as what the score said. Obviously, there were some breakdowns at key moments at the time. Obviously, the one after this, or with a minute left in the second period, was tough, and then the penalty kill was a bit of a dagger in the third period. But I, you know, 5-on-5, I thought we played a patient game. It's a good team and a good building coming from Minnesota. So we played patient. We had some opportunities, you know, but obviously we didn't get the job done. So it's 2 points that we needed for the standings for sure. It was a good opportunity for us.
Did you like the fight you guys showed in the third period, even when you were down and, you know, skating on tired legs?
Yeah, I mean, our team has got a lot of character, and we've had that identity all year where we work hard. We work hard for each other no matter what the score is. And yeah, I mean, we competed, but it just wasn't enough tonight, unfortunately.
Another power play goal for you guys. I had a tough time getting passes across, but patience seemed to pay off tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to score another power play goal in the third period with that penalty, but we worked it around a little bit better on the power play that we scored. It was actually, I thought, the momentum from the first power play, Backlund's unit, the first, and then we kind of hopped out there afterwards and carried that momentum. So credit to the, you know, to that first unit.
A lot has been said about the Jets' power play this year, first in the league and by a good margin. What is the approach when you're trying to counter it?
You just stay tight. Obviously, collapse to the net. You know, don't give them freebies. You know, let shots come out from the outside. Let Vladdy see some pucks. But they got some threats. Obviously, they got a lot of good shooters on that power play. But I thought, you know, we kind of kicked ourselves a little bit with those two, one off the rush, and just being a little bit harder in front of the net on that other one.
There you go. That's Mackenzie Weegar post-game following this 5-2 loss in Winnipeg. Mackenzie Weegar, Ryan Huska. That's our look inside the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And I didn't think that this game was a complete walk for the Jets. I thought that I didn't like the first period for Calgary. I thought it was just way too much on their heels, and they defended too much. And I think that you know, kind of set too much of a good tone for Winnipeg the rest of the way. But the kind of final 40 minutes, I thought the Flames got to their game a little bit more. I quite liked their second period, and as much as I didn't like the first period at all from the Flames, they were only down 1-0. What I thought was kind of the dagger in this hockey game was the fact they played a really strong road period in the second, and they entered the second period only down by one, played their best period of the game, and were the better team pretty much start to finish in the middle frame, and instead of still being only down by a goal, They were actually down by 2 goals after 40 minutes of play, despite being the better team. Mason Appleton scored to make it 2-0. Then Uyghur scored the big power play goal. All of a sudden, the Flames rewarded for their work on the power play, rewarded for their work in the second period, and then that big goal for the Jets in the final minute. That was the real killer, where, you know, kind of a ill-advised pinch from Daniil Miramanov, who I thought really struggled in this game tonight. Miramanov then kind of comes back. He's in no man's land, puts Mackenzie Uyghur in a tough spot, and then that allows Vilardi to walk down the wall. But even still, you're probably looking for a save there. And now you just put a really good road period on the board against the best team in the Western Conference, and you're down 3-1 and down by 2 instead of, and the lead has swelled going into the third period. I think that would be pretty demoralizing, all things considered. And then early power play goal from Vilardi to make it 4-1, and that kind of took the wind right out of the sails. I know Kadri got it back 80 seconds later, but then again, another penalty taken, and Scheifele scores on the rush. That's another one I think Vladar would have had liked to have back. But, you know, when it's all said and done, that second period was the real killer for me in this game. I didn't mind the pairings without Kevin Ball. We'll see how much longer Ball is out of the lineup for. I thought there were some really good individual performances tonight. How about Andre Kuzmenko? I'm fully on board with Megan Mickelson's hardest working Flame, because I thought Kuzmenko was as good tonight as he was last night in Minnesota, and yet doesn't get a point, but he was dangerous. He was dynamic. He had the puck glued to his stick all night long. Good for Andre Kuzmenko. I thought Sharon Govich had some good opportunities. A couple of opportunities. Actually, I would have liked to see Sharon Govich unleash it instead of hold possession a couple of times. But I thought that line had themselves another pretty decent night. So there were some good things. There were some things to like in this one. Thought Joel Hanley had himself a really solid game. Really stepped into that role with Rasmus Anderson as best as he possibly could, playing way above where he usually plays. So definitely some good things. Definitely some positives. Obviously some negatives as well. And look, I don't want to say that negative was goaltending, but definitely an area that didn't help them. You know, the last time they were in Winnipeg, Dustin Wolf stole one. Tonight, Dan Vladar didn't. It's time for the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Second half of the back-to-back, third game in 4 nights. The responsible and honestly the only sensible choice was to go to Vladar for this game tonight. And his save of the game comes in period number 3.
Comes Connor in over the line. Connor weaves his way through some traffic, turns and plays it left point to Stanley. Stanley walks the line and leaves it near side for Scheifele. Scheifele drops it off to Fleury, who steps in. Fleury shoots, and Vladar makes a good glove save.
That ends up being one of the 22 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. And I look, Dan Vladar did not give the Flames the same opportunity to win that Dustin Wolf usually does in this game tonight. That's not to say the Flames lost because of Vladar, but he was not great. I thought he was actually quite good for them in the first period and allowed them to still be in the game for the first period. And I thought the Flames also defended well in the opening 20, but definitely Vladar's best period was the first. And I didn't mind him going all the way up until that Vilardi goal that made it 3-1, but that's a killer. And you know, game management's important for a goaltender, and you need stops at key times, and he didn't get one there. The Scheifele one I didn't like, beat him 5-hole, but that's a good shot on the ice, and Winnipeg's leading goal scorer on the rush, and way too easy an entry. Like, I guess what I would say is, both the goals I didn't like from Vladar were both because of mistakes, pretty egregious ones in front of him too. Like the Vilardi goal that made it 3-1, that was a bit of a mess because Miramanov in the final minute with the fourth line on the ice decided to pinch, and that ends up burning him going all the way back. He tries to get back into position, gets there in time, but then he goes to the wrong spot, and then Uyghur tries to cover, and it's just too little too late, but you probably could have used a save there. And then way too easy an entry on the Scheifele goal. Like, it was way too easy. I said that watching. I'm like, whoa, that is way too easy an entry. And then next thing you know, it's 5-2, and that really was all she wrote with about 13 minutes to go in the third period. So Was Vladar the reason that they lost this game solely? No, of course not. Was he a big part of the solution? No, there was lots of different reasons that they lost this game, and goaltending wasn't great. Comrie was the better of the two goaltenders in this game. Last time these two teams played, it was Comrie versus Wolf, and Wolf was clearly the better of the two. Okay, we're still clear on the phone line, so and no obligation. We don't need to go phone lines every single night, but if you want to chat, you can. 403-240-4444. Text line at 960-960, but we are completely clear on the phone line, so if you want to chat, call now at 403-240-4444. We'll get to the phone calls, if there are any, very shortly here. But right now, to the text line we go for the first time tonight at 960-960. This reads, Pat, I feel sorry for Vladar, but he's not making it any easier on himself. I'm not saying most of those goals are all on him, but you have to make a save, especially when it was 2-1. That third goal needed to be stopped. It deflated the whole team. And yes, I do agree on that front. That was one that I think you absolutely needed to have. That's more of a game management save, and you're not always going to get the right save at the right time, but in games where it's close and hanging in the balance and you're fighting hard against the top team in the Western Conference, I do think that's a stop that you needed at that point. This one says, in 2014-15, they allowed the second fewest power play goals in the league. This year, with all the penalties they're taking and the league's 32nd penalty kill, they're in deep doo-doo. They will not make the playoffs if this continues for the remainder of the year. And yes, Calgary's penalty kill continues to be a very large issue for them. They entered 29th overall on the penalty kill and 32nd on the road. They were killing penalties at just 69%. Not so nice, but just 69% on road penalty kills entering tonight. That'll go down after going 0% on the penalty kill tonight. And they're also going to go down from their 72.3. That is obviously an area that needs to be better. And look, they're probably not going to get themselves a whole lot higher than 29th, 28th, and kind of that bottom third. But if they can, in the final whatever left of the season, we're a little bit more than a third to go of the season, if they can be a top half penalty kill in the final, what do they got, 34 games to go after this? That would be huge just to give them a fighting chance. And even if they are top half in those final 34 games, they're still going to finish a bottom half penalty kill statistically, but at least give yourself a chance in the backstretch of the season. They haven't updated the numbers yet at NHL.com in terms of their PK, but it will go down from 72.3. It might knock them down to 30th. Minnesota, the 30th ranked penalty kill at 70.3, entering action tonight. This reads from Wedley. I feel bad for Dan. Online's piling on him, but the defense without ball was like defense. Where was the D on some of those goals? Wedley only texting in Bridalwood tonight. Yeah, again, I didn't think it was all on Vladar. And compared to what you get from Dustin Wolf, it wasn't at the same level. But was goaltending the only reason they lost tonight? Also, no. But I don't think that was the performance. That was not the spellbinding performance that would suggest that you got to play Vladar more going forward here. So they play four games in six nights starting on Tuesday. Wolf's getting three of those, if you ask me. He's getting all three home games, and unfortunately, it's another tough situation. The fourth game in six nights and third game in four nights in seven nights time Saturday in Seattle. That's probably the next time Vladar's getting in. You're probably going Vladar against Wolf, Washington Tuesday. You're going Wolf Thursday against Anaheim, and you're going Wolf Saturday against Detroit, unless, you know, something shows you that maybe he needs a little bit of a rest. Maybe you, just because from a fatigue reason, if you see something there, maybe you do take Wolf away. But barring that, I think Wolf's getting three of the next four next week. And I don't think Vladar did enough tonight or anywhere close to enough tonight to be able to change that narrative. This from Dylan in Revy says, at least that was more entertaining. I won't read the first part, but it does say Vladar wasn't good tonight, but neither was the team. They looked like they were actively trying not to shoot most of the game. Fans need to stop complaining that Vladar starts on back-to-backs. Every team does that. and it makes sense. The main bright side tonight, the Kuzmenko line, looks like it could be something. He looked like Zeri out there at times, protecting the puck on the boards. Wonder what happens. Be well, that comes from Dylan. That was another. That's two straight games from Kuzmenko where he was really, really impactful. Three of the last four. If this continues to be the norm, that's a big boost for the Flames to get a little bit more offensive zip, which we know that Kuzmenko can bring. Andy writes, it was a tough game to watch. If the special teams were perfect, it's a tie game and a chance for 1 point and to pull ahead to 4 points in the standings. Anyway, was a back-to-back game against the Jets. They have the scoring talent, and they decided to show it tonight. They can only hope that the Canucks keep slipping and don't get it together on the defensive end. They need another seventh if Ball needs more time off. Who are you calling up, Solo or Kuznetsov? One of those two, if Ball's going to be out for a stretch of time and they got to go IR with him, then and if they were to have to go IR, it means he's going to miss probably all three home games next week. If that's the case, I would lean Kuznetsov, just, and that's not based on, I haven't seen enough Wranglers action to be able to make that call from my opinion, but I base that on what the coaches have told me, like what a Wranglers coaches have told me, talking to Joe Sorella, talking to Trent Cull before he got bumped up to the NHL squad, talking to Marty Jelena and Brett Sutter. I would go Kuznetsov a little over Solovyov, just because, hey, there's a guy who hasn't had the same amount of experience. He's having a really good year and could kind of fit that stay-at-home defenseman who can skate. Doesn't bring the same physicality or size that Ball brings, but if it were me and they did need to call somebody up from the Wranglers, I would go Kuznetsov. This reads, just one of those runner-up games. Think now we see why Wolf is definitely turning into the number one. Thought the Cherengovich, Pospisil, Kuzmenko line was their number one line. The number one line usually was pretty much a ghost line, but all in all, for a mediocre team up against an elite team, a couple saves here or there might have been a different outcome. Still think this team, with all the elite talent they've lost over the last 3 years and haven't replaced, are on the right track to future success with assets gained through picks, and I hope that some of those middle picks will hit to solidify the future, as it's not long before they have to say goodbye to Coleman, Backlund, and maybe Anderson. Those guys will be hard to replace. Trent says, I hate it, but this was as close to a scheduled loss as you can have. You just want to move on after that one. Winning two of three is a good road trip. What do you think of extending Kuzmenko $4 to $5 million for 2 years? I do think it's a scheduled loss type of night, and they still fought hard in that scheduled loss territory. I'm still a no on Kuzmenko. As well as he's playing right now, he has been too inconsistent and too enigmatic that it's going to be hard to convince me that re-signing Kuzmenko at any point is the way to go. We'll see where it goes down the stretch, but two good games after 30 dreadful ones, or a lot of dreadful ones in that stretch, I'm not there yet on Kuzmenko. Josh in Beddington says, scheduled loss as far as I'm concerned. Happy with two out of a possible 4 points in tough back-to-backs. This says, on a back-to-back tough road games, you need to use the entire squad and not 2.5 to 3 lines. Huska ran the tank dry last night using a part squad, less than 30 minutes divided on the bottom four. To win in this league, you've got to use them all. Look who scored the winner last night. Taking a look at the ice time dispersal tonight. It wasn't like crazy. Bishop played 8:01. Lomberg played 8:19. Rooney played 6:45. And the fourth line also really struggled tonight. So it wasn't like a crazy dispersal, all things considered. What else we got here at 960? Jeff in Lethbridge says, missing Ball was very noticeable. Miramanov was exposed in areas trying to defend. The Jets continue to show they're one of the league's best, although I wouldn't start the goalies any differently. Vladar always gets very tough assignments. He wasn't good tonight, but I definitely wouldn't hang this loss solely on his shoulders. If I'm a teammate, I'm feeling like I'd like to do more for him. There you go at 960, 960 on the text line. And the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. We're very thin. We do have a couple of phone calls to get to, but very thin. Maybe because we're going head-to-head against the Chiefs and Bills. Maybe because it's a Sunday night, but whatever the case may be, we are very thin on the phone line. So if you want to call, you can do so now at 403-240-4444. You will not get a busy signal if you call right now. We'll take as many as we get on this Sunday. And this is your Flames Talk postgame. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames lose 5-2 in Winnipeg on Sunday night. Let's say hello to Aaron. What's going on, Aaron?
How's it going, Patty?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Not too bad. You got the Sunday scaries a little bit, you know.
Huh.
I think, it's the back-to-back thing and yada, yada, yada. But, man, love you, and hope you stick around. And anyway,
where am I going to go?
Kind of short. I wanted to disagree with you about when you said that Vladar was the only sensible choice. Like, Wolf is young as hell and agile, and your colleagues yesterday or the day before were saying that his mom was preaching that at whatever level, like, he's good to go on a back-to-back. And you know, like, remember back in, like, 2013, 14, or 14, 15, it was when you're in. I think that, you know, it's a bit of a science. You don't want, like, I don't want to see Vladar get disheartened by not getting thrown in, but it's all about the team winning, right? You want to hang on to that.
You can't start Wolf every night, man.
No, for sure. But I just, when you look at where Winnipeg is at right now, and you know that they were going to be pissed off because we got them in the last match, you know they were going to come out hungry. And Vladar hasn't had enough time in net in that period and before then. That's a tough task, right? So I think that's kind of unfair to him. And then
that's the role of the backup, though. Like, the role of the backup is to play the second half of back to backs to give the starter the rest.
Right, but don't you think that, like, initially wasn't it supposed to be a sort of a 1A, 1B, not
Yeah, but
backup?
It's turned into, clearly, Dustin Wolf's net, and they got to make sure that they are not overworking him, especially because it's his first year in the NHL.
Fair enough. Do you think, though, that when Vladar's in net, like, do you think the team's kind of gripping their sticks?
Maybe
because he's gotten no run support, and I don't know why that is. Like, it's like I would like to assume that the team believes in his abilities. Like, he's a good goaltender, but, like, is it just a weird, like, fate thing where, like, we just can't score when he's in net? Like,
well, I think first of all, the circumstances have not been great because he does start a lot of second halves of back-to-backs. He does start a lot of three games in four nights on the third night and all those types of things. So I think he's also going in on nights where the Flames are in more difficult situations. So I think that plays into it. But I there absolutely could be something to the gripping it a little bit more because you don't have as much confidence. That could very well be a part of it. But fact of the matter is, you still can't start Wolf every single night. And these days, like,
no.
Three games in four nights, that's putting Wolf in a tough spot to succeed. Like, I know that Vladar wasn't great tonight, and maybe Wolf could have done better, but if this team's going to make the playoffs, they need Dustin Wolf to be rested, and we're January. I just don't think completely burning out your rookie goaltender makes a lick of sense, or even risking completely burning him out.
That's fair. Do you think that, just a read on a human being, do you think that mentally one would be better? Like, Vladar needs some, like, a few starts in a row, in my opinion, to get his confidence back, and just not even confidence, but just he needs a win. Like, the team needs to score some goals for him, and then there's an evenness between the two where you're not just thrust into this these back-to-back scenarios, but you're prepared to do that, and you know that the management and the coach believe in you. Like, keep the guy hot, keep him steamed up, you know.
Okay, but on the one hand, I don't understand here, Aaron. On the one hand, you're saying start Wolf three on a stretch of 3 and 4 in the second half of back-to-backs, yeah. And on the other, you're saying yeah. play Vladar. I'm my head hurts.
Yeah, no, because you're like, I'm agreeing with you. I just meant like in this circumstance where Winnipeg's a big angry team after losing to us, like people were saying before, like a scheduled loss, right? Like I knew that it wasn't going to happen tonight, but I still think he should have been in net instead of somebody who's cold going in against this daunting team. So just like kind of play the same inning, play the same guys out in the field, sort of thing. But long term, to a degree, I think that Vladar should have a few starts in a row. I still believe in him as a goalie.
And it's funny, Aaron, because like you and I are
tandem thing.
We're kind of completely on different pages, both short term and long term. In the short term, I thought this needed to be a Vladar start, and I'm completely on board with them starting it. And in the long term, right now, I don't think that it makes a ton of sense to be giving Vladar a run of starts at all, because he hasn't proven that recently he's on the same level as Wolf is. And, you need to be winning as many games as possible while not burning out your number one guy. So, yeah, we're kind of on different pages on both of them.
I'll just wrap it up by saying, I suppose what I'm getting at is when you mentioned like a playoff push, if this team was to make the playoffs, you need to have both goalies going. So that being said,
see, I think you need to have Wolf. Do you need to have two goalies going? I guess, but it's more important that they have. It's more important that they have
number one
arrested Wolf. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on it.
Fair enough, man. All right. Well, have a good night. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem. That was a good call. I appreciate it, Aaron. You be well. Hey.
Yeah, you as well, buddy.
Okay, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Flames lose 5-2 tonight on the road in Winnipeg as we say hello to Landon. What's going on, Landon?
Hey, Patty, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm going to maybe bring up a little similar type conversation, but I've just heard it a few times, but I'm just curious, is it always the, around the NHL, the backup that gets the back half of the back-to-backs? Because, I mean, this is a tough back-to-back with Minnesota and Winnipeg. But to me, like, if it was different, wouldn't you sometimes put the starter on the harder game if it was
There's kind of two schools
game?
Of thought. And my school of thought has always been play your number one guy on the quote-unquote easier game and kind of feed the number two to the Wolves, because that's what part of the job is. That's one school of thought. That's the one that I've always subscribed to. So that's how I've always looked at it. Doesn't mean that it's fully the right answer, but it's just kind of how I've generally always thought about it. But I don't think it's a hard and fast rule, but I do know that it's worked pretty well for them this year. They're 5-1 on the first half of back-to-backs and haven't been as good on the second half, but I think it's important that you get those first halves, and then you can look, the schedule is an absolute beast right now, and so sometimes there's going to be scheduled losses, so I think you need to be the guy that, especially for a team, Landon, that struggles to score like this team does, and that is sometimes going to have a talent deficit to the other team. Like, I think you need to put your best guy in the best spots to succeed, and then try your luck on other situations where, you know, maybe it's time to go to the backup.
Yeah, it's fair. So I guess just my little bit train of thought is, I mean, this is a tough one with, like, to me, if it was, like, an easier first game, try to give the backup start. You're trying to steal one when you're the rest of the team is kind of tired or whatever, or maybe doesn't have it all, and, you know, put the guy in that can maybe, like Wolf that can steal you a game. But that's just my thinking too. So I've just heard you say it a few times. So I was just curious a little bit more on the.
I do think, and I honestly don't have numbers on it or anything like that. But I do think generally around the NHL, you do see the situation a little more like what we're talking about, where the quote unquote backup gets the second half of back to backs. I think that's generally the way that it goes. But it's not a hard and fast rule, and I don't even think it's a hard and fast rule this year either. Like, I don't think that it's a guarantee that that's going to be the way it goes on every back to back the rest of the way. I just think so far it's made sense for them.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And again, I think Minnesota, Winnipeg, like, pick your poison with the team, with the difficulties of the matchups. But I don't know. I think sometimes the Flames might succeed more in maybe the second half on a harder team if Wolf can try to steal a game, maybe. But not that I didn't hate the decision this weekend at all, or what they've done at all this year. I think they're splitting it great, and Wolf is taking the reins. So I love it all, but I was just curious of your perspective on that. So.
No, I think it's a very fair conversation, and I think it's going to continue to be a conversation as this year goes along. But that's just kind of how I've always thought about it.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. I've been kind of wanted to bring it up for a couple weeks now, so I'm glad I got to call in.
Hey, no problem. You have yourself a great great night. Call back anytime, Landon.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Patty.
Okay, man. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Flames lose this one 5-2 on the road in Winnipeg as we say hello to Kyle on the phone lines. What's up, Kyle?
Just listening to a great show tonight. How are you, Pat?
I'm good, man. I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
It's, it's fun listening to hear all the opinions, and this might be a little out of left field, but where are we at we're a little over a month away from the trade deadline. If we can get a third or a fourth round pick for Dan Vladar, are we confident that Devin Cooley can come up and back up Dustin Wolf on the stretch?
I think so. But I also don't like if that circumstance were to come to pass, the answer is yes, we can be confident, but I'm not confident that you're going to get that for Vladar. I don't think there's at this stage much of a market for a sub 900 Dan Vladar. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if they're going to be able to get that type of return for him. And thus, I don't know if it makes a ton of sense to be trading him. And then the other thing is, because I think this also is important to point out, is that I think it's really big to continue to have Cooley playing lots of minutes in the American League. And he's never played a full number one workload over the course of the season. And I think continuing to let him work and continue to let him play a ton of minutes is a really important thing, too.
I don't disagree. Anytime goalies get a chance to play a lot, look what it did for Dustin Wolf getting an extra year last year.
For sure.
Totally agree with you on that. Kind of off topic, but with Petrangelo pulling out of the Four Nations, do we see a call to Mackenzie Weegar?
I can see it being a potential. Yep. I think it'll come down to one of three guys. If they're going to take a righty, I think it'll come down to one of Weegar, Bouchard in Edmonton, or Dougie Hamilton in New Jersey. I think those are kind of the three guys that we're talking about as potential replacements for Petrangelo.
Fantastic. Well, appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, Pat. Thanks for everything you do. Have a great night.
Be well, Kyle. Thank you for the call, man. Hey, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Following a Flames 5-2 loss on the road in Winnipeg. Flames Talk is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, we're pretty clear on the phone line, so if you want to jump in, you can do so right now. You won't get a busy signal if so. So if you want to chat, call now 403-240-4444. Keep your text coming at 960-960. Text line remains open as well. And we'll look back inside the Flames locker room and keep it going on this Sunday night. Flames lose 5-2 in Winnipeg. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, your final score from Canada Life Center in Winnipeg on this Sunday night. Flames fall 5-2 to the Winnipeg Jets as we continue along on your Flames Talk post-game show. It is last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. Call 403-240-4444. We've been pretty thin on the phone lines tonight, so you won't get a busy signal, and it is your last call. If you want to chat, do so now, 403-240-4444. Lots of texts still to read at 960-960. We'll dive back in both on the text line and the phone lines in just a few minutes, but it is your last call on this Sunday night. If you want to call, now is the time. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room for the final time tonight. It's time to check in with one of Calgary's two goal scorers. We've already heard from Mackenzie Weegar. Now let's hear from Nazem Kadri post-game on Sunday.
I don't know. I mean, they obviously, you know, cashed in on some special teams and, you know, kind of put the game away after that. So I'm just going to do a better job all around. I don't think we gave up a ton, but they were definitely opportunistic tonight.
I'm not sure your group would feel the score was exactly the way this game played out, but was fatigue a factor in this one, or is it just something else?
I don't think so. I mean, there's never really any excuses, but, I mean, obviously playing a back-to-back in two games in less than, 24 hours is significant, but, you know, along with the travel, but we got to find a way. I mean, it was nice to split the road trip up, and now we got to go back home and get some points.
How tough is it to play when these guys have a lead, this team?
Very tough. I mean, even if they don't have a lead, they're tough to play against. So, you know, obviously their power play is deadly, and you got to be able to stay out of the box in those certain situations. But, you know, like I mentioned, I don't think we gave up a ton, but, you know, they made some nice plays and scored some nice goals.
How'd you feel about the way you guys generated looks and chances?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a little limited tonight, but I definitely feel like we had some opportunities. Wow. And you know, we were definitely in the game for a great portion of it, and I thought it could have went either way, but you know, they got a couple power play goals that ended up being the difference, and you know, we got to find a way to try to tie it up.
What has Jacob Pelche brought to your line?
Speed, energy. He's been playing great, and he's he's been a nice injection for us. So you know, I thought he played well again tonight, and you know, we'll look for more of that.
That is Nazem Kadri postgame tonight in Winnipeg. Your final look inside the Flames locker room after this 5-2 loss to the Jets. Let's get to the text line for the final time tonight at 960-960. Vince says, hi, Pat. Miramanov looks slow on defense and prone to mistakes. Tough one for Vladar. Looks like Wolf will probably get most of the starts down the stretch. Power play, puck movement was slow, but hoping for a good homestand starting Tuesday against the Caps. Kuzmenko's looking good the last two games, hoping for more of that down the stretch. I actually didn't mind Calgary's power play tonight, Vince, but definitely the Kuzmenko side of things was really, really impressive to see. Good to see Andre Kuzmenko playing some good hockey over the last two games. Kyle says, with Petrangelo pulling out of the Four Nations, does Mackenzie Weegar get a phone call? Maybe. As I said a little earlier, Weegar, Bouchard, Hamilton, I think those are the three three players that I think will be in the mix potentially as a Petrangelo replacement. This says Wolf's capable of playing a back-to-back game. I fully believe he is capable of playing a back-to-back game, but why force it and why do it if you don't need to? And you didn't need to tonight. There is no reason to be forcing Wolf into a three-game in four-night stretch. You have two goalies. Vladar wasn't the only reason they lost this game. You have got to rest Wolf when you have the opportunity. You're not going to convince me, and we can agree to disagree. I might not be able to convince you, but I'm not being convinced they should have started Wolf tonight, even if they lost the game. Rory in the Beltline says, Pat, I agree with you and other texters that Kuzmenko was awesome in both games this weekend. I'm wondering, A, what kind of run he would have to go on leading up to the trade deadline to generate some interest. B, if you're able to flip him for a mid-round pick, do you pull the trigger on a deal even if they're still holding down a wild card spot? I think he'd have to basically be dangerous and dynamic from here until the trade deadline to really make it. I think he's going to need to still be dangerous in March for this to be a real conversation about flipping him. And yeah, I would flip him because I don't think re-signing him is the way to go. If you can get a mid-round pick for him, I think that's found money. And I don't know if Kuzmenko's brand of hockey translates in a big way to I don't think translates in a big way to the postseason. So I would be, yes, okay with trading him, even if they're in a playoff spot, only if Kuzmenko was able to generate enough interest, was able to play well enough down the stretch that he was able to, you know, make it so that teams are interested or willing to give up a mid-round pick. Peyton says, good evening, Pat. Approximately a month ago, I texted in and suggested that if we keep giving Vladar the back end of the back-to-back, that they're going to kill his trade value. And if I just heard correctly, you don't feel they can get a third or fourth round pick for him. Are we not seriously impacting the trade marketability of Vladar if they keep giving him the horrible end of a back-to-back against the quality team like the Jets? Honestly, even before that, I don't think there was much of a market. Peyton, I don't like, had there been a second or a third round pick available to trade Vladar, I believe they would have done it. I don't think that's existed at any point. I don't think he's played well to get himself into it, regardless of the back-to-back situation. And I don't think trading Vladar, if you're not going to be able to get something decent for him, makes a lot of sense. I think there is way more value in keeping Vladar as this team's backup and keeping this team, keeping this guy with Dustin Wolf, and then allowing at the same time Devin Cooley to continue playing heaps of games with the Wranglers. And there's way more value in that than like getting a sixth round pick for Vladar. I really, really do. I, even if you lose Vladar for nothing and he walks away in free agency, I'm completely fine with that. Because I think Cooley getting games in the American League the way that he is, and I think Wolf having a veteran-ish guy to take the second half of back-to-backs where you're not worried about what you're doing to his development if he's only playing, you know, once every 10 days. I just wouldn't be messing with it because it's worked to this point, and more importantly, it's worked for Wolf. What else we got here at 960? This reads from Sonny. Pat, tough game today. Ball out hurts the Flames on the blue line. And I found they lost defensive gap control on rushing wingers. Kuzmenko and Sharon Govich had some good shifts, and I'm loving Coleman's play of late. That comes from Sonny, and that's the text line tonight at 960-960 as the Flames fall 5-2 on the road in Winnipeg, and the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. I wasn't supposed to give out the phone number because we are at last call, but if you do want to call in, absolute last call. If you jump in right now, we might be able to get you on. It has been pretty thin on the phone lines tonight, but we do have Al with us on the phone lines. Al, you're up next following a 5-2 loss to the Jets. What's up, Al?
Yeah, my point was just about the back-to-back situation. Why not put Wolf as the second game on Sunday? Because you're giving Vladar the entire team on the second game all the time, and maybe it shows in how the team plays, maybe it shows in how Vladar plays. But why not flip that around and just to shake it up? Is that crazy talk, or what do you think?
I don't think it's necessary if Wolf's playing well and if he has himself a good road trip. I don't think it's necessary, man. Like, why mess with the formula when they're 5-1 on the first half of back-to-backs?
Well, true, but then they're 1-5 on the second half of back-to-backs. So it would be nice to see some, you know, somehow steal a game. If the team,
yeah, but what if all of a sudden, what if all of a sudden that means they lose the first half of the back-to-back?
Well, then don't do it again.
I'm not saying it's like a bad idea. I don't think there's any reason to mess with the formula that's worked.
Right. Yeah. I guess you're getting 50%. So, you know, maybe don't mess with it. The other thing I wanted to ask was Cairns. When are they going to get him back in the lineup or see him again?
I mean, I don't know that answer for sure, although if it were me, I'd think about bringing him back in Tuesday against Washington.
I hope, yeah. Because the fourth line, I don't know whether I can't remember where he was playing, where he was inserted in the lineup, but I'd rather see them be able to have a little bit of threat on all four lines rather than end up benching or not playing the fourth line very much. That's how I view it anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, the problem now for Cairns is that Pelche, we'll see what happens with Pelche. Do they keep him up there with Kadri and Huberdeau? I didn't feel like Pelche impacted things the same way tonight that he did the last couple of games. But the problem right now is if they
back-to-back.
Yes, for sure. And I have liked the line of Pospisil, Kuzmenko, and Sharangovich. So I don't know if I'm eager to break that up right now. So do you want to bring Kerins back in as a fourth line guy? I might be totally totally on board with that, actually, the more I think about it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I don't know where he was playing the last time he was up. I can't remember.
So if they're going to move Pelche, if they feel like moving Pelche off the top line and putting Pospisil back with Kadri and Huberdeau, then I think you can move Kerins back in somehow. But otherwise, it might not be the natural place to bring him back in, just because I don't think Kerins on the fourth line puts him in a great opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, thanks for your input. Your thoughts.
Hey, no problem, Al. I think it's a fair question about, like, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not saying you're wrong. I would stick with the same formula if it were me.
All right, then. Thanks.
Good stuff, Al. You be well, hey?
You're right. Have a good night.
Thank you, man. A couple more phone calls tonight. Let's say hello to Jared on the phone lines. What's up, Jared?
How's it going, Pat?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Pretty good. I wasn't able to watch the game tonight because for some reason on the ESPN Plus thing, the Flames game wasn't on there. So that was disappointing. I was trying to find it, but couldn't find it anywhere. So I was listening a little bit on the radio. But it sounds like Kuzmenko in the third line was pretty good again. I was kind of surprised that the third line started playing better after the first game they were together. It seemed like they weren't that great. I wasn't a fan of the Sharangovich, Kuzmenko, and Pospisil line at first, because it just felt like they weren't really doing much and it was kind of a mismatch of players. But it seems like they've figured out a little bit, which is really good to see. The first line, I think, has been great. I think you keep Pelche up there, even if maybe he didn't have a great game tonight. Again, I'm not fully sure because I didn't get to watch all of it. But, I mean, they can't really expect to win that game. It was a back-to-back against the Jets and, you know, they've been playing great for the last little bit, so that was kind of a scheduled loss there.
Yeah, I definitely think it was scheduled loss territory, and they fought hard, but sometimes they happen.
Yeah, definitely. One thing with everybody saying Wolf's got to play every game and stuff, I think I'm a little bit more on your side. Like, they can't play Wolf every single game, and like they've seen with Connor Hellebuyck, like, he fizzles out in the playoffs sometimes because he's playing too much in the regular season. And Wolf is a rookie. I think you need to rest him when you can. Like, I don't understand the hate on Dan Vladar. He has not been that bad. And I think he needs to be in there at least a few times because we can't play Wolf every single game.
Yeah, and that's like, I just – few things. First of all, you don't want to burn out Dustin Wolf, period, because young goalies and goalies who have never played the full number one-ish workload in the NHL, far more often than not, we've seen them get burnt out in year one, and that can really mess them up for quite some time, whether it's Devin Levi or Mackenzie Blackwood, or there's a number of other examples that you can point to. But also, if this team's going to make the playoffs, and right now they remain in the driver's seat to do so, don't you want to make sure that your number one guy, your meal ticket, and like let's not mince words. If the Flames are going to have any chance in the playoffs, it's going to be on the back of 32 more than anybody else. And so, don't you want him to be rested come there? And so, are you gonna risk burning him out for one game where you have the opportunity to rest him in the third game in four nights in the second half of back to back? Are you gonna risk burning him out long term just so that you can get two more points? And I know that there's a balance there, and I know that every point means something, but I still think you have to find that balance. And I just don't think forcing Wolf into the second half of a back-to-back is the way to find that balance. That's me. Doesn't mean you have to agree, but that's me.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page with you there. I mean, like, if we are still in the driver's seat with the playoff spot, like, yeah, you got to manage it. If we're really fighting, then we need, you know, our best guys going, so Wolf will probably have to play a little extra. But I really, you don't want to burn him out because it's happened too much with young goalies. So rest him as much as you can while still kind of staying in the driver's seat. Because when we get to the playoffs, if we can, I think it'd be great experience for all the young guys. And, you know, we need Wolf going at that point. Do you think there's any like kind of waiver type players that have been coming around in the last little bit that you think the Flames could kind of pick up as we, you know, we have a couple of injuries and stuff going forward? Is there anybody like kind of third line guys that you've seen that maybe we could grab coming near the deadline?
Well, I mean, I don't know who's going to be put on waivers.
I'm just saying more like kind of those lower players that, you know, you're not big trade baits, but, you know, somebody you think the Flames could pick up for pretty cheap that could help a little bit.
I mean, I'm sure there are some decent names out there, but I mean, off the top of my head, does anybody come to mind right now without actually going into each roster and finding somebody? I can't really think of anything off the top of my head right now, but that doesn't mean that there aren't guys out there. And honestly, you know, there was a potential one earlier, like last week. I don't think that Derek Ryan was the right guy, but if somebody else kind of in that ilk were to be put on waivers, I think the Flames would seriously look at it.
That's fair. I think I disagree with you on the Derek Ryan one a little bit, but I am partially biased because I knew him a little bit while he was here in Calgary. We had him over for dinner once. He's a great guy. And I think he's a great fourth line center. And I think it would have been kind of, you know, no harm, no foul if you picked him up because the Flames needed a fourth line center. And I mean, he's 38. Yeah, he's really old, but it's $900,000 on the rest of the year. Like, low contract, no risk really. So I would have liked to see him get picked up, and he's good at faceoffs, right-handed center. So that was one I would have liked to see, but I am biased on that one. I think I've been kind of convinced by you a little bit here with, I think the Flames should just kind of not really just let the chips fall and like not try and go for any big trades or nothing like that. Vladar, I think you're kind of right with keeping him. Like there's not much for him, which I'm a little surprised because I thought he was, you know, a pretty good goalie and there might be some teams that would want him, but I'm surprised that there hasn't been any market at all for him.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, I mean, the problem right now is that he's a sub-900 goalie and has been basically all year. And he played better in the first half of the season, but he is a sub-900 goalie. And his record sub-500. As of right now, he's your backup. And I know that he hasn't been winning a lot of games, but I still think you need somebody to take the starts. Now, I don't, in my mind, I would like to see Cooley continue to play the big games in the American League. If Vladar continues to stumble, I'd be interested in potentially, like if they feel like they need an upgrade as their backup, I'd be interested in seeing something there. But generally, I think the formula has been working that, and I know that Vladar hasn't won a lot of those second halves of back-to-backs, but generally the formula has been working where they've been able to win the first half. And that to me is also important. And still you need somebody to go in and take the games where Wolf needs to rest. If they, you know, one thing we haven't talked a lot about is there an upgrade? I'm weary, leery rather, of it being Cooley, not because I don't think he can do it, but more because I think his workload and having a heavy workload in the American League is important. Maybe they could look for an upgrade on Vladar as the number two. I have no problem with that. I just, you know, ideally, I think that you'd want Wolf to keep playing those first halves of back-to-backs. If there's somebody out there that you can acquire to maybe, and maybe Vladar can go back the other way as part of it, that's an interesting conversation that hasn't been had a lot.
Yeah, that's not something I really even thought about at all. That's kind of an interesting thing that maybe they could find somebody or a little bit of value in maybe a kind of lower-end player and a goalie and get Vladar and something else going back the other way. That's not something I would have even thought
about.
And
you might have to give up a pick to do so. Like, you know, I think of the move that Colorado made with Nashville for Wedgewood, right? I mean, they gave up Anonin and he went to He went to Nashville and they got Wedgwood in return. Like something like that, if they wanted to do, I'd have no problem with. If somebody says, hey, Vladar's a little bit younger and maybe that we can see a fit for him. And like that, that's something that honestly we haven't talked a lot about, maybe should talk a little bit more about, because, you know, Dan has not been very good on these second halves of back-to-backs. And since Dustin Wolf has started to take on the lion's share, Dan hasn't been great in being able to pick up the wins when needed to. And not always is it his fault. Like the last time he played the second half of the back-to-back, I don't think it really was on him at all. Tonight, a little bit more on his shoulders. So, I mean, you could look at doing something like that. And that I think is a very relevant conversation.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, no, that's thanks for the
because,
chat, Pat.
And just the last thing, because then it takes the temptation away if you do get an upgrade, like somebody like a Wedgwood or, you know, Jake Allen's been that in New Jersey at times, or just trying to think of other, like what they're getting from Eric Comrie in Winnipeg. Like if they could find somebody like that, then all of a sudden the temptation, if Vladar doesn't start to win a little bit more often here, then the temptation to overwork Wolf becomes a little bit less of less of a temptation. So that could be a really relevant conversation between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good point. I didn't think about that. And actually, I did have one other thing I wanted to talk about quick was, it does seem like the defensive zone in the last few games has been kind of shaky. They've been giving up kind of a lot of chances, and I'm a little bit worried that they're just kind of being masked by Wolf's great play. Is that kind of just coaching adjustments, or do you think it's just been there's a lot of hockey in the last little bit? Because it does seem like it's trending in a direction that might not be the best right before this break.
Well, so, and I missed the first, so what's not trending in the right direction?
I feel like the defensive zone, like there's been a lot of high danger chances.
You know, I actually thought
in the last few games,
I actually thought the last two games were a step forward. Both Minnesota and Winnipeg, I thought were a step forward. I mean, they only allowed 7 slot opportunities to Winnipeg 5-on-5 tonight. Last night, up until the final like minute or two of the third period, I thought they only they did a really good job of limiting against Minnesota. So. But before that, I'm with you. It was starting to get a little bit loose. So, you know, these last two games, I think a step forward in terms of the way they've actually defended. I'd like to see them defend a little bit less, but the way they've defended was better the last two games. So if that can be a step forward, then that would be important.
Yeah, it'd be great to have that kind of going in a better direction going into this break and after this homestand. But yeah. All right. Thank you, Pat. That was great to chat with you as always.
Good stuff, Jared. You be well, man.
Thank you.
And our last call tonight goes to Parsons following a 5-2 loss in Winnipeg. What's up, Pars?
Hey, brother. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Good. I pretty much expected the the result of this game to be what it was on a back-to-back against Winnipeg. I thought, you know, the boys put up a valiant effort, but you know, at some point, you know, they're going to run a little on the E for empty here for effort. And, you know, here's the thing, though, like just piggybacking off of this conversation with Vladar. So he does get a lot of back-to-backs, like the second half. Like, doesn't this put him in a position of, you know, when we're expecting to maybe lose games on the second half of a back-to-back, especially against a good team, doesn't that kind of put him in a bad position in terms of you know, his team might not
puts him in a tougher situation, but that's the backup's job, right? Like, that's kind of, you know, you ask any backup in the league that they sometimes get put in the tough spots, and the best backups are the ones that are able to you know, find a way to still give quality performances. And unfortunately, over the last month or so, we haven't seen that the way that you would have liked for Vladar.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't thrilled with today's game, but there have been some games where I thought he did play good. It's just the team in front of him didn't play very good. So I kind of feel for the guy, and I don't know who out there would be an absolute upgrade on Vladar, to be honest with you. I mean, unless we're ready to have the conversation that, you know, Cooley for sure is ready next year to be a backup. Like, I'm not sure if giving up on Vladar is a great idea at this point, because he's been a good shelter for Wolf. And and I agree, Vladar should have played today. Like, I think Wolf can do back-to-backs. It's just too early for that for him right now.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head, right? Like, I'm just going and doing a little bit of research. And I'm not saying that these are the ones that I would go target, but like somebody like, so Ottawa goes out, Linus Ullmark's hurt right now, but Ullmark has been great for them. All of a sudden, this Levi Mirallainen has stepped in and been really good as the backup or the other goalie while Ullmark has been hurt. So could the Senators look at trading Anton Forsberg, right? Forsberg's a pending unrestricted free agent. He's at $2.75 million. Could you do something like that and make a swap with Vladar and Forsberg, or do something like that? And I'm not suggesting that that would work, because then Ottawa would be in a three-goalie situation, but somebody like that. And again, I'm not saying that that's the guy I would go target, but somebody where, you know, you've got a little bit more of a veteran goalie that maybe you can... Maybe you can start to look at being a potential upgrade on Vladar. That would be one thing that I would potentially look at, right?
Do you think Forsberg?
And again, I don't want to get too much into the specific on the guy, because that was just one example that I looked at really quickly when going through some of the goalies that are out there. Could you get probably not going to get it from Dallas. I don't know if you're willing to pay what John Gibson would be looking for. You'd have to find the right fit. And it would have to be somebody that you know, wasn't already giving a playoff team a good chance to win, that somebody else has surpassed somebody. Like, that's why I looked at Ottawa. Winnipeg's not giving you Comrie. St. Louis probably not going to give you Hofer. So those are, Chicago's probably not going to give you Soderblom. So it's just like, there's not a lot of the right fits out there, but could you find, like, would Dustin Tokarski in Carolina be an upgrade on Vladar, something like that? Those are things that you could start to look at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought the third line was a little bit dynamic again today, especially Kuzmenko. I'm glad to see him kind of break out of the shell a little bit. Like I say, he himself is looking actually kind of dynamic out there. So I think he's starting to upgrade his trade value from a bag of pucks to maybe a seventh rounder at this point. So I hope he keeps on that. But it's unfortunate, the whole Kuzmenko thing, because honestly, the guy is so full of talent. And when he is on his game, he's on another level. And you can tell that. It's just a matter of putting a few games together of that, which I don't know. I think his thing is a mental block. If he could ever get over that, he would be one of the more dynamic players in this league, I tell you. But I guess one last thing would be, I really hope we keep Anderson. And I think we will. Because I don't know how you replace that guy's compete level, his just everything that he brings to the table with this team. I don't know how you replace that. And I really hope it goes where we keep him long term.
And I mean, it's not all on the Flames. It's partially on Anderson, of course, if he has the desire to stay, all that type of stuff. But I think that that is definitely a potential that he stays, and him saying that he has the desire or the interest in staying is kind of the first step. And now, I don't think he's super keen to be taking a hometown discount, but at least there is a first step that there is mutual interest, and you kind of go from there. And I'm with you. I know lots aren't, and there's lots of conflicting thoughts on it, but I'm with you that I think that going and keeping Anderson long term, if it's not going to be a massive overpay, I think that's the way to go.
Well, and the guy plays like that. This is his team. Do you know what I mean? As long as it's not a massive overpay, you can tell the guy is totally invested in this team. He's taken on the team. He's going to be one of our leaders going forward. And that's just by his play. Like, he's taken over this team on his back in a way. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward there, buddy. But, maybe we'll talk to you Tuesday there.
Okay, you be well, Parts. Appreciate it as always, hey?
Take care, brother.
You too. And that will wrap us up on the phone lines tonight as the Flames fall on this one 5-2 to the Winnipeg Jets. As we move to our final summary on our Flames Talk post-game show tonight, Flames unfortunately never had a lead in this game as Winnipeg scored the only goal of the first period. It was Kyle Connors, his 27th of the year, came at 5:28 of the first period. A beautiful individual effort. Connor from Gabriel Vilardi and David Gustafson to make it 1-0 Winnipeg after 20 minutes of play. They'd add another one midway through the second period as Mason Appleton bangs home a rebound for his 7th of the year. An unassisted goal for Appleton at 10:17 to make it 2-0. But a power play right after that got the Flames, who were having a pretty good second period, right back on the board. Mackenzie Weegar slaps home his 6th of the year to cut the lead in half. Weegar from Yegor Sharangovich and Jonathan Huberdeau at 15:08. Power play goal had the Flames with some life at 2-1. But the backbreaker in this game came in the final minute of the second period as Vilardi scores to make it 3-1 at 19:09. His 21st from Dylan Sandberg and Mark Scheifele. And it was 3-1 Winnipeg after 40 minutes of play. They'd go up 4-1 on the power play early in the third. Vilardi scores again, his 22nd from Connor and Nikolai Ehlers at 3:07. Power play goal made it 4-1. Flames got that right back 80 seconds later. Nazem Kadri gets it back to 4-2 with his 17th. Jake Bean, the only assist at 4:27. But less than 3 minutes after that, another power play goal for Winnipeg. Off the rush, Mark Scheifele makes it 5-2 with his 28th. Vilardi, Connor, the assist at 7:08. Another power play goal gets us to a 5-2 score. That would be your final score. Final shots were 27-22 Winnipeg. Flames go 1-for-3 on the power play. Winnipeg 2-for-2 with the man advantage. Your 3 stars in the building tonight. Number 3, Eric Comrie in net. Number 2, Kyle Connor. And with 2 goals and 4 points, your number 1 star tonight was Gabe Vilardi. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Andre Kuzmenko. With the loss, Flames fall to 24-17-7. They're back in action Tuesday at home to Washington, while Winnipeg improves to 34-14-3. They're back in action Tuesday. They're on the road in Montreal. That's your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for my co-host pregame and intermissions, Matty Rose, and for outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. As we start to wrap up our Flames Talk post-game show, it's available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Next up for the Flames, Tuesday night, it's a 7 o'clock face-off against the Washington Capitals. We'll be on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend and or a great week ahead. Your final score from Winnipeg tonight, Flames fall 5-2 to the Jets. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.